Oh, my life. It's the bit before the theme music. This is sometimes the best bit of the whole show. Not this time, though. This time, it's pretty naff.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just team a trusty old Red Rider Carbine Action 2 on the Shot Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode something or other of the Total Christmas Podcast. Do you know what? This is my big episode before Christmas. This tends to be, in previous years, the most listened to episode of the year, because it's just before Christmas. A lot of people want a Christmas podcast. You've come to the right place. If you've never listened to the show before, the plan is that I do about 24, 25 episodes a year, so you've got one a day to listen to throughout the Christmas season in December. If you're just listening to this episode, I hope you enjoy it. You know, there's a lot of segments in it, lots of different bits you might find interesting, and I've got input from a lot of other people that listen to the show as well. It's nice to have you here. You might want to check out some of the other episodes. You might not. I don't know. It's your life, isn't it? Do what you want. I want to start off just a quick one. Twice a year, the Advent Calendar House comes out. I'm a big fan of this podcast. I was on it once, only once, because I was such an awful guest. Apparently, that episode has had the lowest amount of listeners ever. I think it had like one listen, and that was me. But other than my episode, all the others are fantastic. And he does an episode every couple of days in December, and also he does it in July. Now, it's not July, is it, kids? It's December, and all this last couple of weeks, I've been listening to the new episodes and loving them. And the most recent one I listened to was An American Christmas Carol, starring the Fonz as the Ebenezer Scrooge character. And it was quite interesting listening to their take on it, because I covered it, it might have been 2 years ago nearly now. I did like a more basic cover, and they get right into it. Like, they, you know, I spent like 20 or 30 minutes on it. They spent over an hour talking about it. So yeah, really good. Highly recommend the Advent Calendar House. There's lots of other Christmas podcasts out there that I always recommend. You've got to listen to Tinsel Tunes, of course, and Festive Forum Film Fans, and Merry Britsmas. And if you've got time, you can listen to the Total Christmas Podcast. You know, only if you've got time. Now, I don't think I've got much else to talk about. There might be a few things that I've forgotten. If I have forgotten, I am sincerely sorry. Yeah, but let's get started with this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
We were all hoping for a white Christmas at the Tiki Bar, but if not, a red will do. One of my favorite rockin' Christmas tunes is The Kinks' Father Christmas. Released in 1977, it has a definite punk vibe with its distorted guitar riffs. It highlights working class struggles, where the kids attack Father Christmas, asking for money and jobs for their parents, and to give all the toys to the little rich boys. My Do You Hear What I Hear sensibilities were alerted when in the very first verse, Ray Davies sings that he believes in Santa Claus. Well, if the song is titled Father Christmas, why is he talking about Santa? Are they the same person or someone totally different? Whereas the Brits may use Santa Claus interchangeably with Father Christmas, you will never hear Santa referred to as Father Christmas in the US. And it kind of makes sense, as they aren't really the same things. At first, it has to be recognized that Father Christmas is much older than Santa Claus. Father Christmas is an ancient figure who has been associated with the winter season and good cheer since pre-Christian times. And I am not even going to get into the debate over Odin and the ghostly Wild Hunt and a sleigh ride across the sky. I mean, many equate this with Santa's ride, but others will say it is a stretch to fit a narrative. I just tend to think that Odin and the Wild Hunt created the concept of air travel with flying animals. Father Christmas did, however, seem to evolve out of pagan personification of the midwinter feast. He is basically a human representation of Christmas, and this is significant. His origins are not associated with children or gifts. He represented more of the adult activities, the feasting, the drinking, and the games of Christmas. From his earliest days, Father Christmas was strictly allegorical. He was a symbol of the Christmas season, not a true being, even though he was often depicted as a figure who presided over the festive parties. You have to imagine that in its earliest form, Christmas was celebrated differently. There was much more emphasis on entertainment and celebration for adults after the difficult times they had experienced during the year. I mean, gift giving was not unheard of, but it was definitely not the focus. Early carols in the 15th century referred to a character called Sir Christmas, who says to make good cheer and be right merry because of the birth of Christ. Elsewhere, there were the Lords of Misrule, who oversaw Christmas celebrations and had names like Captain Christmas, the Christmas Lord, or Prince Christmas. However, it seems that it was Ben Jonson's play in 1616 who finally depicted him to be a father or an old man. In the play, the character of Christmas appears in old-fashioned clothes with a long, thin beard, and he calls himself Old Christmas and Old Gregory Christmas. He also has several sons and daughters with names like Misrule, Carol, Mince Pie, Mumming, and Wassail. As personified, he is Father Christmas, bringing forth or siring these various holiday traditions. Again, he came with no gifts. When the Puritans attacked Christmas, many royalists used the character of Old Father Christmas in pamphlets to show him being convicted. In a pamphlet entitled The Examination and Trial of Old Father Christmas, he is shown to be an old man with a white beard and a fur-trimmed gown. He's put on trial for his life, but he's acquitted by the jury. Then after the Restoration, Father Christmas, as he now became to be known, went on to appear in stage plays and in folk dramas over the next 200 years, but not as a gentle old gift giver. He was always associated with the adult world of partying and had no connection with presents. In fact, he was often not even treated with much respect. Historians think that Santa Claus first stepped foot in England in 1864 when he was featured alongside Father Christmas in an American story. In that tale, Santa Claus brings gifts while Father Christmas appears in a mummer's play. By the 1880s, the image of Santa Claus had almost completely merged with Father Christmas and became popular across all parts of the UK. It just became common knowledge that Father Christmas came down chimneys to put toys and sweets in stockings, and he was portrayed as a more modern figure, often dashing through the snow in a car carrying a box full of toys. The term Father Christmas is still popular. There are Christmas stories being told today using that name and promoting Father Christmas as a Santa-like figure. Perhaps the most well-known recent reference to Father Christmas was in the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where Father Christmas appears to the children, he announces that Christmas has returned to Narnia, and he gives them gifts that then factor into the rest of the story. What I think is lost today, with these two mythical gift givers being merged together, is that they have very different colorful histories and origin stories. We should recognize and celebrate their strengths and know that our youngsters, they have their own Christmas champion, Santa Claus. But we adults, we also have our own holiday hero, Father Christmas, who is looking out for our happiness and well-being. Cheers and happy Christmas to all, and to all, a great holiday season.
Well, that was a good one, wasn't it? Yes, he's done a lot of research. I'll tell you a really interesting fact. The song, Father Christmas, I've barely heard it. I think that one is actually more popular in the US than it is in the UK. I may have heard it on the radio at some point, but I don't ever remember it. I do not remember it at all. Just thought I'd mention that. Great work there, though. A lot of history there. Yeah, do you know, the kids here, it's interchangeable. Father Christmas, Santa Claus, could be either one. They use them both. My girls, Santa Claus this, Father Christmas that. It's just the same. And other kids you meet. Yeah, so thank you so much for that one, Bob. It'll be back again later on. But now, we're going to do this.
This is the Total Christmas Podcast. Listen up, Jackass.
Boys and girls, it's my favourite part of the show. Do you know, last week I did a Jackass and I thought, well, this is the last one. No one's going to send any more. I've got another one from my best friend, Chris Kavanagh. And he's put, I have a question. What's your favourite toy you ever got as a kid on Christmas? The toy that after you unwrapped it, you then stood up and exclaimed, "Holy shit, Santa!" Just curious. Well, I have a question for you, Chris. Are you familiar with the segment Jackass? These are dilemmas I'm meant to be solving, not people asking me questions about my personal life. Also, Christopher, why do you think it's okay to write out the word shit and expect me to read it out? Why do you think that's okay at Christmas? I've got listeners, Chris. You're not the only one. I've got two other listeners, and they're sitting there thinking, "Oh, potty mouth, Jack." Well, thank you for that, Chris. I can't really answer the question because nothing springs to mind. I think it's probably Big Track. I don't know if you remember Big Track. It was like this big, white, robotic truck, tank type thing that you could program in how far you want it to go forward. So you press an arrow for forward and then you press like five and it would go forward five. I don't know what five was. Like five, it wasn't 5 foot. From, I don't know. Five, maybe it's bursts of 10 centimetres. I'm not sure. And it would fire as well. It would fire. When I say fire, a little blue light would flash and it would go boo, boo, boo. So you could tell it where to go and then fire. And then I loved it. It doesn't sound that great as I describe it, but I loved it. But I tell you something, Christopher, I did not stand up and say, "Holy shit, Santa," because my parents would have gone spare and would have taken Big Track away from me. Right, I've answered the question. Thanks for your question, Chris. Always lovely to hear from you. He is my best friend, after all. I didn't know that. He told me. Yeah. Now it's time for this.
Yule lugs, Yule lugs, you'll love them. I love them. We'll love them. We all love the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, those Yule lugs. Yeah!
Boys and girls, we haven't done a Yule log in a little while. And do you know what's funny? Every time I do a Yule log segment, I say, "Boys and girls, we haven't done a Yule log segment in a little while," because we haven't done a Yule log segment in a little while. Now, this one is a quick one. It is Fireplace for Your Home, and it's on Netflix. This is the classic edition, okay? And what it is literally a fireplace for your home. And it's an hour. It is pretty much just the fireplace itself. There's no surrounds, there's no mantelpiece, anything like that. It's just the fire blazing away for you to sit and enjoy. It doesn't have music, so you can put your own music on in the background, whatever you fancy. It does have like the crackling and popping sounds of the fire, which is delightful. It is a fantastic Yule log. And only the other night, my wife and I were sat there watching it, and it was great. But this is the bit I want to share with you. This is why I'm doing the Yule log for this one particularly, right? At 36 minutes and 28 seconds, it might be 1 or 2 seconds before that, maybe after, I'm not 100% sure, one of the logs, there's like a crackle, and one of the logs falls out of the fire and lands on the floor. And you can't see where it's gone, but you see smoke rising up from the floor. And I'm thinking, well, what's going to happen to that then? You don't see anyone come rushing in with a fire extinguisher, putting it out or anything. It literally just sits there, smouldering away, burning someone's rug. I couldn't believe it. I thought, do you know what? Just start again, guys. Start again. This is a fire hazard. But there it is. So if you want to watch it, you know, you can even fast forward if you want to, like, minute 36, wait 30 seconds, bang, out it falls. Yeah. That's the Yule log this week. It's a really good one. It's the Yule log of choice for my wife and I, and I highly recommend it to you at home, especially for the highlight at 36 minutes and 20 odd seconds. And this isn't one that's on a loop. This is, you know, a lot of them I've talked about in the past. It's like sometimes it's under like an 8 second loop. Sometimes it's longer, but on this version, it is like a whole hour of the fire burning from pretty much fresh logs in there when they're first lit till the very end where they've burnt down quite a lot. Really nice. Check it out and enjoy the highlight. Now let's do this. Boys and girls, a couple of episodes ago, I asked you nicely, I say, to share the podcast on social media. And from what I can tell, and to be honest, I'm not very good at telling, I don't think anyone actually did. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it now, right now, because I'm going to sing some songs. And while I'm singing, that is your opportunity to just quickly, it'll only take you seconds, just go, you're listening to this, all you have to do is click the little share thing and then share it with everyone you know. That's all you got to do. And then you can even put a note saying, I'm only doing this because the guy on the podcast is giving me a hard time if I don't do it. So you do that, I'm going to start singing some carols. You ready? Here we go. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, O little town of Bethlehem, come all ye faithful, come all ye faithful. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen's, and he saw good Christian men rejoice. They were having a really good time. Once in royal David's city, and the one about the angels. Can you please share this on Facebook? Because I'm running out of Christmas carols. Have you done it yet? Because I'm sure you're not enjoying this, and I'm definitely not enjoying it. Right, okay, I'm going to do some more. I'm going to sing, I'll do that one by Mariah Carey. What's that one? Snow is falling all around you. All I want for Christmas is you. Oh, I wish that. I wish it could be Christmas every day. Merry Christmas. All I want for Christmas is you. I'm not sure if I'm getting the tune right or the words. In fact, I don't know what's going on. Have you done it yet? Come on, just do it. Just press that little share one. It's like a sort of half a triangle, like two lines of a triangle with dots at the end. Press on that. Come on. I'll forget it. Do you know what? Don't bother. Let's do something else. Right, we're doing this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Boys and girls, it is the quiz. Yes, your favourite part of the show. Okay, I'm just going to get straight into it. No messing around. Question number one. What is the name of the other reindeer, as in the title of Vivian Walsh's book? Okay, got that one? Easy one, if you know the answer. If you don't know the answer, incredibly hard. Question number two. Easy one for you now. What is the next line after, he's making a list, he's checking it twice, from the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town? Okay, number three. In 1986, the Norwegian scientist O. Halvorsen hypothesized that which animal's unusual proboscis is the result of a parasitic infection of his respiratory system. Did you get that? I'm not reading it again. If you want to hear it again, rewind it. Question number something. Complete the title of the 2004 film starring Steve Guttenberg as Nick Claus, Single Santa Seeks. What's the answer? What is the answer? Okay, halfway through. Joseph and Mary had travelled from which town? Where had they come from to register in the census and possibly pay taxes? Where'd they come from? Number six. In what European language is Buon Natal or Buon Natali? I'm not sure which way. The Christmas greeting. European language. Tell me now. Tell me. Next one. The first episode of Series 4 of which acclaimed British drama TV series is set at Christmas 1925 and includes a drive-by shooting from a horse and cart on Christmas Day. Did you get that? BBC TV series, first episode of Season 4, someone gets shot in a drive-by shooting from a horse and cart. What's that then? 1925. Okay. Which 1988 film was promoted with the tagline, "It's Christmas Eve in LA, and the party action's about to explode on the 40th floor." Got it? Good. Oh, we're up to number nine now. How many segments are there in the big Christmas favourite, A Terry's Chocolate Orange, despite the weight of the standard size being reduced in 2016 from 175 grams to 157 grams by trimming the sides of each segment? The cheap gits. The price stayed the same. The number of segments stayed the same. The weight was less. Okay, and the last question. Which former American Idol winner had a hit in 2019 with underneath the tree. You're here, it's where you should be. Snow is falling with a capital C. I had a big argument with my wife and my daughters the other day about what she says in that line there, and they were swearing blind it's with a capital C, because it's capital C for Christmas. And I was saying, no, it's snow is falling while the carolers sing. Well, do you know what it is, kids? It's while the carolers sing. Because I googled it, and I proved them wrong. And I tell you what, kids, it made me feel like a big man. But who sung that song? Answer it, and you shall have a point if your answer is correct. If it's wrong, you don't get a point. Obviously. Right. Now let's do the answers. So, boys and girls, you heard him in a previous episode. He's back again. It's Stephen Mackay, Stephen A. Mackay, from the Sword, Potato, Scissors, Paper Book Club. What's it called?
That's right.
It's called Rock Paper Swords. I remembered. Rock Paper Sword Podcast. He's also a fantastic writer, and he's going to tell us his answers. Sadly, kids, I don't think he's done that well. Normally, I say that they've got 10, but we'll see how he gets on. Question number one: what is the name of the other reindeer, as in the title of Vivian Walsh's book?
No idea.
It's Olive the Other Reindeer.
Oh, right. It does seem. I think I can picture that in my head, but.
Well, Matt Groening did like a Christmas cartoon special with Drew Barrymore. Right. She voiced Olive. It was from the mid to early 90s. Oh, they show it every year on Channel 4, pretty much. I've got the book, and the book is nothing like the cartoon. So, yeah, right. Olive the Other Reindeer, you see, because she mishears the song lyrics. Okay, question number two. What is the next line after he's making a list, he's checking it twice?
Going to find out who's naughty or nice.
Well done, yeah. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice from the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Question number three. In 1986, the Norwegian scientist O. Halvorsen hypothesized that which animal's unusual proboscis is the result of a parasitic infection of his respiratory system?
Well, it's a reindeer, isn't it, Rudolph?
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. That's why he's got a red nose, apparently. I don't think that's why it is, because I don't think it would glow, but there you go.
Well, I don't think it's real.
Hey, Rudolph?
Yeah.
Is he not?
I don't think so.
We've got our own opinions on these things, Stephen. Do you know what? I've heard that a lot of times, that it's a parasitic infection or whatever, but I didn't realise that came from 1986. It's like 40 years that they've been saying that. But people still trot it out every year like it's a new thing. Okay, complete the title of the 2004 film starring Steve Guttenberg as Nick Claus. Single Santa Seeks Blank. Now, this is Stephen's favourite Christmas film. So what is it, Stephen?
Mrs. Claus?
It is. Was that a guess?
It's kind of a guess. I've definitely seen it before. It's not my favourite.
You've watched it?
I watch. If any Christmas movie comes on and I'm in the house, I've told you earlier, I don't really watch TV, but I used to. So if there's a Christmas movie on or I see it on Netflix or that, I'll stick it on and see what they're like, because I just love Christmas, you know?
You're a good man. Yeah. There's a sequel as well, but I can't remember what the sequel's called.
I'm sure he had weird plastic surgery in it, so he doesn't look really like the same guy that was Mahoney.
No, he's aged. Okay, question whatever. Joseph and Mary had travelled from which town to register in the census and possibly pay their taxes?
Is it Bethlehem?
That's where they were going, isn't it?
But that's what I thought, so is it Jerusalem then?
No, it's Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth.
I almost said Jesus there. I don't know how I never knew that. I used to be in the nativity plays when I was at school and stuff. You'd think I would know that.
Well, yeah. But then they don't sing about Nazareth. They sing about Bethlehem, don't they? Right, question number, whatever. In what European language is Buon Natale, the Christmas greeting?
Italy.
It is Italian. Well done. The first episode in series 4 of which acclaimed BBC drama TV series is set at Christmas 1925 and includes a drive-by shooting from a horse and cart on Christmas Day.
Doctor Who?
No, that's a good one. I understand. No, it's Peaky Blinders.
See, that came out of my head, but I've never seen a single episode, so I don't know why I thought that. But I should have said that.
No. Yeah. Okay, I know you got this one. Which 1988 film was promoted with the tagline, "It's Christmas Eve in LA and the party action's about to explode on the 40th floor"?
Scrooged.
Oh, mate.
No. Am I wrong?
No. On the 40th floor. Die Hard.
Oh, but did he not... Scrooged, does Bill Murray not start off at the top of a building?
Maybe.
And he gets held out.
Maybe
the ghost holds him out over the top. Oh, God's sake. I was so confident with that one.
Okay, how many segments are there in a Terry's Chocolate Orange?
16?
No, it's 20.
All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that one either. I didn't even try and stab again. And I know you didn't get the last one. What is going on?
Well, that's just terrible.
I should let you choose the questions. Which former American Idol winner had a hit in 2019 with Underneath... I would have said it was older than that, actually, with Underneath the Tree.
No idea.
It's Kelly Clarkson. That's actually a classic. That's made it into like the general playlist, you know, that you'll hear every year.
No, classics. Slade, Wizard, Shakin' Stevens, The Pogues. You know, that's the classics, Jack, not Kelly Clarkson.
Well, it's a modern classic. Can I say that?
Well, no.
Okay, sorry, kids, I can't say it. Right, so what did you get then? How many did you get? Any? Did you get any?
Yeah, I think I get two or some. Italy, that was right. Got to find out. So I get three, at least.
You got four?
Oh, well,
it could be worse. Rubbish. It could be worse. You could have got three. So,
yeah.
Or two, or one.
Zero.
So, I think you've acquitted yourself reasonably well. We're really rapidly running out of time now, but do you want to quickly just plug your podcast or your books, or do you want to say anything?
No, not really. yeah, we're hopefully doing a Christmas song called Christmas is Coming, and that'll be on our Rock, Paper, Swords podcast feed. So if you just go into your usual podcast provider and Google Rock, Paper, Swords, you should see our song. And if you like Christmas songs, you should like this. There's all sorts of bells and children's choirs and guitar riffs, guitar solos, all this screamed vocals. You know,
it's a good song, kids. You'll have to check it out. We've got like 10 seconds. Thank you much for coming on, Stephen. It's been a real pleasure to meet you.
And, you too, thanks, Jack.
Keep in touch. Merry Christmas.
Keep the good work going, mate. See you.
Christmas is coming!
Winter chills the air. Children play with precious new toys, and on the hearth the Yule log flares. But as we toast departed friends, let us not shed a tear. Instead, let's charge our glasses, raise them up, and usher in a happy new year.
Christmas is coming, rock, paper, swords. Yeah.
coming, fa la la. Christmas is 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 coming, fa la la.
Boys and girls, this week we're going to be... Hello. I thought I'd got rid of... Oh, it's not Skype. I've got Google Hangouts. I thought they'd stopped Google Hangouts. Hello?
Hey, Jack. George Podcast here, inventor of the podcast. Yeah, I see you finally.
No, you not after last week, no.
Yeah. I'm here, and you actually can't hang up this time. Go ahead, try.
I am.
It's not working. Working, is it?
No.
So... Anyway, you're stuck with me until I decide to hang up. I see you finally upgraded to Goog Hangs. Love that for you. I ran another focus group, and boy, is my throat sore from screaming. First off, we want you to tell us what makes your podcast stand out from other Christmas podcasts, and why is it your total lack of cohesive thoughts?
Well, it's not completely incohesive. I mean, I try to sort of... Why is that kind of question? Why have I got to justify myself to you?
You don't have to justify to me on air to the listeners. I think they kind of need.
My people
that.
Listening now. Well, if they're listening, then they sort of appreciate the sort of stuff I throw out, don't they? What are you doing here?
I got another one. Don't worry, I got another one in the chamber there, buddy. Don't worry.
Hit me.
An olfactory challenged member of the group wanted to hear you mansplain the smell of cinnamon.
Well, it's kind of like a hug from a red bear. How's that?
That's actually fantastic.
Thank you. There you go. That's what cinnamon is. It's a nice bear.
Save
it's a
that
friendly
for the
bear.
Show. Yeah, save that for the show. Like, you don't have to tell it to me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, real quick, a couple more here. I personally want you to review my version of A Christmas Carol, where Marley is not dead, but instead has just had kind of a bum knee for the past 7 years.
Yeah, I don't really see how that's going to work in the story. I tell you what, though, I'm open to every version. So if you want to send that through, I'll give it a shot. Sure. Anything else?
I'll send that right
what else you got for me?
Okay, I got two last ones. A chick in the group wants to hear a segment where you rank and review every Christmas episode of Frasier, including that band episode where Frasier and Niles have to help Eddie get his little doggy dick out of a Christmas cracker.
If that episode was real, I would cover it on the show. But I think you're making these things up now.
It's
are you even, you are you even really the inventor of the podcast?
Of course, I'm George Podcast. Why would my last name be Podcast other than that?
Is a good, well, that does sort of add up, I suppose. But no, I'm not doing that either. There must be something you've got that you think can benefit the podcast.
I think this could benefit mankind, this
Go.
Next one. Finally, a young man in our focus group suggested you could gain more listeners by doing little viral social media videos. He suggested something called bubble lighting, which is when you snap vintage bubble lights open and chug the contents until you die.
Right. Look, apparently I can't hang up, so can you just hang up? Or am I going to do the segment with you sitting there?
Nah, I'll hang up on you, but I'll see you next week.
Okay. Fingers crossed I don't.
And now it's time for this. Bye!
This is the Total Christmas Podcast. Listen up, Jack-ask.
I know, boys and girls, I've got two Jack-asks in one episode. What I could have done is done both of them in one segment, but then if I'd done that, you wouldn't have got to hear the jingle twice, would you? And we all know how much you love the jingle. Not as much as me, but I'm sure you like it. Anyway, this one comes from Adam Parker, who is the host of the Merry Britsmas podcast. If you're not listening to the Merry Britsmas podcast, what's going on? I've recommended it loads of times. Do you not listen to my recommendations? You should. It's fantastic. I really do like it. It's one of my favourites. I want to say my favourite, but if I said that, I'd offend a lot of other people. So, here's what he's put. The flat above us has the front garden, which is mostly gravel. This year, the letting agency planted some small trees along the front wall. They're not fir trees, just little, quite bare trees. I had an idea to decorate them with some baubles and tinsel left over from our supplies. I wanted to do it as a surprise for the tenants. My wife said not to do it and that it's not appropriate. I said I could ask the tenants. She said I should ask the letting agency. I have done neither yet. Is it nice and festive to decorate these trees as a surprise or wrong/creepy, as my wife says? Well, I can tell you not to listen to a word your wife, Madam Grinch, as she should be called, or Madam Scrooge, that's your choice. I'm not, maybe call her Scroogey Grinchy.
Maybe call her Scroogey Grinchy. That's her new name. Adam, you're married to Scroogey Grinchy Parker. How does that make you feel? You can tell Scroogey Grinchy that you're spreading Christmas cheer. And when you're doing something festive with a good heart, then there is never anything wrong or creepy about it. It's not like you're going out there and like showing them your dinkle for Christmas, is it? No, you're going out there and putting some decorations up. You do it under cover of darkness. None of them are going to know who did it anyway. Could have even been the letting agency. In my experience, it probably wouldn't be the letting agency. You've got the spares. Those decorations were made and created to spread Christmas cheer. And you need to set them free. And you've got the perfect opportunity to do it. And also spread some Christmas cheer. And not only, Adam, will this spread Christmas cheer to your neighbours when they get to see these decorations, it will make you feel more festive as well. And you can tell Scroogey Grinchy to keep her nose out of... To be honest, I don't know your wife. I'm sure she's delightful and I'm sure she loves Christmas. You've used the word inappropriate. I hope she didn't actually say that's inappropriate. Of course it's bloody appropriate. It's Christmas. One thing that is appropriate at Christmas is Christmas decorations. That's why they're called Christmas decorations. Not other time of the year decorations. They're called Christmas decorations because they're appropriate for Christmas. And again, if your wife's a little bit more reserved and thinks, well, maybe not, I say, maybe so. And who are you going to listen to? Well, I can tell you, you're the one that asked me the question, and I know you trust my advice. Because my advice is second to none. Adam, get yourself out there, spread the Christmas cheer. Just to finish off, he got 7 out of 10 in the quiz last episode. And that was when Scott and Dwayne came on, and they both only scored 5 each. I only got 6. Adam scored 7. So good for you, Adam. Congratulations. So... thanks for your email, Adam. And again, kids, after you've listened to this episode, get out there and listen to Merry Britsmas. Now let's do this. Yeah, this is midway through the podcast, so I'm throwing an advert in just to sort of ruin it for a bit. The advert is for my merchandise. I've advertised it before. This is probably the last time I'll advertise it this year. I only tend to advertise it in December, but to be honest, I should probably advertise November as well. I don't get a penny from this. I designed some images and I put them on a t-shirt site called TeePublic. And if you go on there and search for Total Christmas Podcast, then the t-shirt designs will pop up. And there's 4 to choose from. One is just the Total Christmas Podcast logo. One is a sheep with a speech bubble, with a humbug in the speech bubble. It's Bar Humbug, you see. I'm really proud of that. I've come up with that idea myself. And then I realised someone else had already come up with it. But I did as well. Great minds, possibly. The other two are Merry Christmas, you know I love you. And also, Merry Christmas, you beautiful people. If you buy one, the money that I would get goes straight to Save the Children. And do you know what? I haven't sold much this year, so I'll probably just double it myself, like put on twice as much, whatever. And so, do you know what? If someone does buy someone else, whatever you put on, I'll double. Unless it goes crazy. Do you know what I mean? I'm not made of money, but if it's 20 quid, then I'm happy to double that. It is Christmas, you know. Anyway, that's my merchandise. Go to TeePublic and search Total Christmas Podcast or Total Christmas Pod Store and it will come up. And you can buy a t-shirt or a sticker or something. I don't know. Do something. Or not, actually. Why not cut out the middleman and just give some money to charity that way? It's up to you. Do what you want. I'm doing another advert. Yeah, and I know you're thinking, oh, is this show's become nothing but adverts. And that is my intention. So over the next sort of 3 or 4 years, I'm trying to sort of less content, more adverts, until in about 3 years' time, it is just going to be adverts from start to finish. That's the plan, okay? But I'm not there yet. I'm only having 2 adverts in this episode. So this one is for my book, which I talked about last year. I don't talk about it much. I think I got rid of 12 copies last year. I've got another one. It's probably going to come out in January, but I've run out of time to get it ready for December. I wrote this book 20 odd years ago. It's got loads of swearing in and it's quite offensive in places. I was a different person back then, but if you want to read my book, I think it's one of the funniest books ever written. It's got some decent reviews on Amazon from people that I know. It's called Thursday Night's Alright and it's by Jack Andrews. I think you'll enjoy it and it'll only cost you £2.50 or I think it's $3. Yeah, Thursday Night's Alright by Jack Andrews, available as an ebook on Amazon. I try not to take up too much of your time with adverts. I'm still talking though. This is taking up more of your time. Should we get back into Christmas? Let's do it, baby. My boys and girls, this is a masterclass in podcasting because right now I'm doing a segment which I'd like to call Things You Can't Really Do Very Well on a Podcast.
Last year, the year before, and the year before that, every Christmas since I've been doing the podcast, I've had an interview with the wonderful Shelley Arnold and her husband, Frank the Tank, and we have talked about her fantastic Christmas village, and we're doing it again this year, but the only problem is, you can't see what's going on. Now, I have put up some pictures on Facebook. Even the pictures don't do it justice, to be honest. This thing is magnificent, it truly is, but, you know, have a look at the pictures on Facebook so you can see what we're talking about. This interview is great because Shelley's lovely and Frank's lovely as well, but you can't really see what's going on. Having said that, you get the idea, you know, close your eyes, sort of imagine it in your brain, or don't imagine it in your brain, and have a look on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, you can email me direct. I'm happy to share the pictures with you and I'll send them on to you, because really, her village is nothing short of spectacular. This is the interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have some special guests on this show. Welcome to Shelley Arnold and Frank, the Tan.
Well, thank you very much.
It's great to see you both, isn't it, girls?
Yes.
Yeah, they've been excited all week. Only last week, was it last week or the week before, Juno was saying, when are we going to see Shelley? Or I think she might have said the lady with the village. Is that what you said? Yeah, it's a tradition. This is the fourth year.
I know.
So what's new? Tell us all about it.
Well, actually this year, but in late January, when we were going to take it down, we were talking and we were like, you know, we could make it a little bit bigger. So when we took it down, we took all of the boards out to the end of the driveway for someone to pick up and take, and they took them. And so we had no foundation to start from this year and got all new boards and all new layout and started fresh.
So is it a completely different design now then?
Except for the very back, you know, where the mountains are and the middle tier, those are pretty much the same. But the main part of it is a whole new design that I designed throughout the whole year on paper and changed the layout of the train, and we started fresh. So when we started it, we weren't sure that it was all going to fit because it was on paper instead of to scale, like actually doing it on the boards.
How long does it take to build your village?
Well, this year it took me a bit longer. I started on October 1st this year because I'm in school now. So I have to go to school every day, just like you. And so I'm gone all day and then I come home and work a little bit on the village. So it took me a little longer. I finished it, I think, just before we went to Pennsylvania for Thanksgiving. So the Saturday before Thanksgiving, it was done. So it took me about 6.5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So you're a full-time student then?
I am.
Learning culinary school.
Yes, I'm going to be a chef.
Oh, wow. Cool. Frank's looking forward to that, eh?
She always was a good cook, though.
Yeah, did you need to learn? What's going on?
No. When I decided to leave medicine as a nurse, I wanted to do something more community-based and help people to improve their health through nutrition instead of medicine. So that's what I'm going to do when I'm done.
Oh, there we go. That's good, isn't it, girls? Yeah. Right. So tell us, what is there anything particular that you've got that's brand new that's particularly exciting for you guys this year?
Campground.
We have a new campground in our village.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Oh,
you like your camping, don't you? Have you been much this year?
We went a few times. Yeah, we went a few times. And we'll be sleeping in the camper on Christmas Eve because all of our kids come to the house and take the beds.
What? Sit down out in the blooming camper. What's that all about?
Actually, that's Frank the Tank's idea. We've been sleeping in the camper for, this will be the fourth year now. So
nice out there. Yeah, quiet.
We go out there. It's dark, and then our grandson calls us on the phone at 5 o'clock in the morning and says, "Get in the house, hurry up! It's Christmas." So
is it hot? Is it warm in the camper van?
Oh yeah.
We have electric heat and we have a propane furnace in the camper. So
oh, you got a furnace as well. Oh, you're living the dream. Oh, okay. Oh, there we go. That's better than our house. Nice. So are you going to show us the village then?
What's that?
Are you going to give us a tour of the village?
Yeah. Are you ready? All right. So back there is the campground.
Is it with the big Christmas tree, the lit up Christmas tree? Is that where I'm looking?
Yep.
Oh, and is that camper van there? In the, right in the middle of the screen, is that the camper van?
Yeah, there's a camper van entering the campground, and then there's a camper van, then there's a couple of tents, and there's an outhouse right there.
Let's see.
Yeah, and then let's see, what else is new this year? We moved the lake, so Frank routed out a new lake for me, and there's the parade has a new feature. If you can see Mickey Mouse flying above the parade.
See the parade?
Oh, yeah.
So Mickey Mouse is new as well, then?
Yes. What else is new? So we have this in the carnival. You can see this. Our daughter Jenna got me that for Christmas last year.
So you couldn't add it in it last year, I suppose. So that's...
But
you've got it all year to get ready for it.
Yeah, it takes up a bit of space. So we moved the Christmas Story Ralphie scene over to this side.
Uh-huh.
And then here's the Griswold. This is the Griswold Street here with Cousin Eddie and his RV. There's his swimming pool right there that Clark is dreaming of getting.
Yeah, I see it.
Yep. And then I don't know if you'll be able to see this, but our grandson.
What's that? Is that a Yeti? What is it?
That's a Yeti. That's Bigfoot.
They got Bigfoot.
And then over here in New York City, we have King Kong getting ready to climb up the Empire State Building.
Oh, yeah. That's a new one as well.
Yes. Let's see. And the Statue of Liberty. And now Bedford Falls, which used to be straight on looking this way. Bedford Falls is now, when you first enter the house, this is Bedford Falls right here.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you can see straight down the high street.
Yeah. I made the streets a little bit narrower this year. Oh, I've got a light string that fell down.
Oh, no.
I think that there was some shenanigans in here while we were gone on vacation, and we had a young girl and her boyfriend take care of our dog, and not sure what happened. And then the parade goes all the way down that street. Now the parade has to cross.
Oh yeah, you see, look all the way along here.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so up there is pretty much the same.
Uh huh.
Okay.
The ski hill is the same.
Fireworks. Wow.
So, Shelly, the fireworks at the back. How does that work? Oh, do you see Santa?
The fireworks are just a Lemax product, and they're just plugged into an adapter.
Yeah.
It's a black mat. You can't see very well.
The black backdrop kind of makes it disappear, but they're black panels, each individual.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have seven of them, four on one side and three on the other. And the train now goes through the center of the village instead of just around it.
Oh, okay, yeah, did you see the tracks?
That's the upper train. It just goes around.
Yeah.
And then the lower train kind of does a little bit of a figure eight. Here it comes.
Wow.
So we have a Christmas tree farm here. We have the cars in New York City.
So is it? It's New York. Yeah, New York City is just the cars, and then you got the other ones is where the trains are. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. See the cars moving around.
I have a new building in New York City that I never thought I would ever have, but Frank the Tank reached into his wallet and bought it for me last year, and that's this building right here. It's called the Flatiron Building.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Flatiron.
It's shaped like that because a road goes here and a road goes here, so the lot they built it on was pie-shaped.
Aye.
So they had to use every inch of land they could.
And it's a very collectible piece, and I was never willing to spend the money on it.
Oh, Frank treated you. That's the man, isn't it? Good work, Frank.
Yeah.
Was it secondhand then? Is it like hard to get hold of now?
Yeah, I think it was an eBay purchase.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, so that means it's more expensive than if it had been new then.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah, a lot more.
Yeah, probably like five times more.
The people who run the eBay stores, they close them up and they don't open them until like the middle of November because they know the holiday hype is, at its apex, so you'll spend.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, so, there's no bargains throughout the year. He's got a...
No, if you look for him in July, you won't find anything. But about November 15th, you start to find all these stores start having all the village stuff because they know you're building and you want it.
Are you going to tell us how much you paid, or is it a secret?
It was probably about $700, I think.
What?
Whoa.
Wow. Goodness me.
If I had to guess, I would say that was about what it was. But this one over here, this blue house, Todd and Margot's house, you can see them their jogging suits. When I bought that house, I bought it on Amazon. It was $50. And then it kind of went crazy. And now it is worth, last time I looked, it was worth
$3,500. $3,500?
$3,500
for that little house. That's the blue one back there. It's from a very famous film, girls. That little house there.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that little, actually.
It's quite big.
Wow. Yeah.
I love this.
Frank's really using the laser pointer.
Boys and girls, obviously you can't see any of this, and we're sorry about that. But Shelley's got a laser pointer that she's pointing at the buildings, so we know which ones they're talking about. So have you always got the laser pointer to hand so that when you've got guests, you can say, look at this and look at that?
Yes. Typically,
have you always had that? Or was that just this year?
We've had it multiple times. It actually is. It's a kitchen thermometer. We just brought it out here and use it to point out things, especially for kids. Typically, then the kids will take over the laser pointer and start pointing out things for people. Like last year when we did the I Spy game.
Oh, I remember. So, boys and girls, if you don't remember last year, people would come to the house and they'd have a sheet of paper with things they had to find, and they'd tick them off. And if they found them all, they'd get a prize. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And we have some new prizes this year, and I had to change the I Spy game because the village changed. But last year, a couple of kids decided that I needed to be able to play, so they wrote me out an I Spy game just for me. So then I had to go through and answer all their questions. And they hid something for me that I did not find until I took down the village. They hid the Grinch behind the Empire State Building.
Did you get a prize then or not?
No, I didn't get a prize because I didn't find it until after the village was coming down.
On the drive-in, what's on the screen there?
It's just kind of a revolving screen.
It's just, it shows, like right now it says good night.
Good evening and a hearty welcome to the drive-in theater. Visit our refreshment center. That's one of the favorites of guests is the drive-in theater.
I like the drive-in theater.
Yeah. Can you see the swans swimming?
Oh, at the back there. See the swans on the lake?
Yeah,
sorry, boys and girls. We should be describing what we're looking at here. So at the back, there's a lake and there's actually swans swimming around on it.
Not real swans.
Yeah, well done. And also there's another ski slope, and you can see the tiny little skiers going up the slope and down the slope. It's fantastic.
And many people ask us, how is it that the people going down the hill go faster than people going up the hill? Because you just mentally think, well, you're going to go up the hill and then go back down again. But it's two separate tracks.
Oh, I see. There's a guy, his family stood round, and the guy's actually swinging an axe. That's just brilliant.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's really cool.
And then these little guys swinging on the gate.
Oh, yeah.
And then back there, those kids are sliding down the hill. You see them?
So, and then there's a dad pushing his kids down the hill on a sledge.
So do you call it sledding or sled riding? What do you guys call it?
Sledge. Yeah, I think we say sledge.
Right? Sledge, that's interesting. Yeah. Now, my daughter lives in Pennsylvania. They call it sled riding. We call it sledding.
Sled it. Sled. Is there a G in it?
Nope. S-L-E-D. Sled.
No, we got G. We use a G.
Yeah?
Yes.
Sledge.
Sledge.
This is a seesaw or teeter-totter. I'm not sure what they call it.
A seesaw. We call it a seesaw.
Right here.
So there's two kids on a seesaw and it's going up and down.
Yeah.
Oh, look, and see behind the kid doing angels in the snow.
Do you guys get enough snow to make these, Robin?
Oh, no. Not really.
No.
I don't remember the last... Did it snow at all last year?
No.
No, we haven't had any last year. Or maybe a dusting.
It's snowing.
We've had a very mild winter also.
When we spoke to you, I don't know if it was last year or the time before, You had like a foot of snow outside, didn't you?
We had a nice proper storm last year.
Let's see.
We had power outages.
I'm not sure if you can see them. They're playing tug of war right there.
Oh, yeah. Look at the back here. There, do you see?
Oh, yeah.
One thing I think is cool, she puts, where's the chimney? It's close.
Oh, right here. Right here.
See how she puts smoke in the chimneys?
Oh, I see the smoke coming out. The smoke coming out of the chimneys. What we use there, is that cotton wool?
Yeah, yep. It's just batting, like, from the inside of a quilt.
Yeah.
It's smoke. Rick says it's smoke.
We build little tiny fires in all the fireplaces.
No, we don't. Oh, and there's a kite. Dad and his son are flying a kite.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah. I remember that from last year. So, have you got Hoover up this year?
Not yet. It's going to go up probably tomorrow.
Is that a quick one, then? You just knock it up, do you?
Yeah, I'm really late this year because of school. Do you want to show them the... Hey, here's the... tower.
Happy New Year, 2024. Oh, and the ball's dropping. Oh, look at that. So, kids, in America, in New York Times Square, when the New Year starts, they say the ball drops, and that's what happens. And it says, Happy New Year, 2024.
And the ball is dropping.
Yeah.
And,
it's lit up.
And then it will set and go back up.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh, yeah.
So, Chili, is the floor space or, like, you know, the total area that it covers the same as previous years? Or with the new boards, have you actually taken up a bit more room?
A bit more room. Only about maybe 50 square feet bigger.
That's a lot. 50 square feet more.
More, yeah.
Yeah, probably about 8 feet by 7 feet. Total.
More than it used. How big is this then?
The village is 13 feet wide by 14 and a half feet deep to this point by 19 and a half feet to this point.
Wow. Can you do the maths on that, kids? Go.
You find the area that.
What is that in square footage then? Do you know?
So it's probably just over 200 square feet total.
200 square foot, girls.
Wow.
Indeed.
My daughter had an apartment smaller than this.
That's incredible. Do you know what? It's funny because we're looking at it and then when you can actually see Shelley in the frame, you suddenly realise just how big it is because it's huge. Do you see? Look, there's Shelley. Look how big it is with Shelley in the picture.
Oh, wow. That's wow.
So how many people are you expecting this year?
So one year we had 90 people.
Wow. How many, sorry?
We had 99 people one year.
99? Oh, yes. One person just sat in the garden, did they?
So we're hoping to get to 100 this year.
Oh, I hope so, yeah. So what prizes is it this year if you spot everything?
Oh, let's see. We have coloring books and crayons.
Oh, nice.
We have some stickers.
Nope. Oh, cool. Yep, stickers always cool.
Yep.
And then we have some of the funky glasses.
Yes, so I remember those from last year. Those are the ones where you can, if you look at a light, you see Christmas trees. Is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
So what about the outdoor stuff, Frank? Have you been out and sorted that out yet?
No, I'm way behind. I have maybe 12 bulbs out there.
Come over.
Oh, yes, we can see out the window.
Oh, yeah.
There's blow-ups out there in the front yard, and there's blow-ups in the orchard. But that's all I really have done, or just, yeah, like some blow-ups.
So I don't, like I said, I don't have the Grinch village done, but I did finish the tree.
Oh, that's nice.
And then I moved my mom's village.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about this one. Yeah, the little snow babies. Is that what it's called?
So this is Precious Moments Sugartown.
Sugartown, that's what it was, yeah. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Look at it.
Yeah.
You see him okay?
Yeah.
Don't look at this room because this is not done yet, but I did start the Grinch tree.
Oh, I remember the Grinch tree. Yeah, it's all. You see?
He's going.
Yeah.
We got all three versions of the Grinch on DVD now, finally, because they don't show the old one from the 60s. They don't show that in the UK. So I had to buy a copy of that. So we've got that one. We watched it last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think I asked this last year, Shelley, but what's your favourite piece in the village?
I don't know. I think the Flatiron might have taken it. Too hard to pick one. This is one of my favorites with the little fireplace inside, but probably the Flatiron building.
Yeah. What's your favorite that you saw, girls?
I probably like the train going like through the tunnel.
What was your favorite, Juno?
I like the bit in the fun fair.
Oh, the big ride and the fun fair, yeah. Oh, okay, guys, we're running out of time. You're going to say a big thank you to them for coming on again.
Thank you for being here, and we really love the village.
Well, we loved having you guys. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And if we don't see you before, we'll see you again this time next year.
Yes, of course. Merry Christmas.
Great. Thank you so much, guys. Lovely to see you.
Bye-bye.
I want to say a huge thank you to Shelley again for coming on the show for the fourth time. It was such a treat. And again, let me emphasise just how big this village is. I think this was the first time that I actually saw it with someone next to it. Because you're thinking, that's a really nice Christmas village. That is, and there's so many pieces to it. And then you see Shelley stood next to it. And you're like, this thing is huge. There's a grown person there. And this village is massive. There's so much going on. I'm banging on about it. And you're thinking, yeah, all right, we get it. You don't get it. You've got to see the pictures. You really have. Thank you so much to Shelley. She truly is a wonderful person. And I'll tell you what, after seeing Frank and Shelley, I felt quite emotional. I really did. It was lovely to see them again. And I'm really looking forward to seeing them again next year. Thank you so much for being on the show, you two. Merry Christmas to you both.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version is an episode of Richard Diamond, Private Detective. And this was a radio show that ran from 1949 to 1953. And then it turned into a TV show 4 years later from 1957 to 1960. So Richard Diamond, he's an ex-police officer turned private detective. And he was played by a guy called Dick Powell. Each episode was about 30 minutes. And it was about him solving some case. Well, this one, and it's interesting how they've gone about it, because the main characters, which is like him, his partner, his girlfriend, and some police officers that he has dealings with, they are playing the characters of Scrooge and, well, all the characters in A Christmas Carol, really. That's how they've worked it. So Richard Diamond, he's not in this Christmas Carol, but Ebenezer Scrooge is, and they've set it in the 40s. So, this episode aired on the 24th of December, so Christmas Eve it was, in 1949, and it's pretty much really stayed fairly close to the original story, but then they've brought it like forward, well, nearly 100 years, and the main change is the dialect. Yeah, I'll give you some examples as I run through it, but you'll see what I mean. So I'll just run through quickly the story. So it starts off with Bob Cratchit being very, very cold. And this is interesting, not that interesting, but it's a thing. He's not really submissive in this. Bob Cratchit's a lot more standing up for himself with the boss. He's like arguing about he wants some heat. And the boss is saying, no, you're not turning the heater on. And Bob's saying, well, yeah, but, you know, how am I going to be able to write with my ink in my pen frozen? And then in comes Fred. And let me play, this is what I'm talking about, let me play some of the dialogue for you, and then you'll hear how close it is to the book, but how they've also changed it to use sort of, yeah, their terms and whatnot. Hey, have a listen.
Look at you, $60 a week and you're coming on like Rockefeller.
Well, sure I make a lousy $60, but it ain't easy. But once a year something happens with everybody in this big world. Well, nearly everybody. Because this is a day that somebody else started to make things right for us. And he had a really tough time doing it. It's more than just remembering. It's feeling. It's all around you. Christmas has got to be merry. Don't you get it?
So, obviously, Fred invites him to dinner. Scrooge says no. Then Scrooge leaves. And he sees Jacob Marley's face in the door knocker. And they haven't changed the names at all. Which I thought was interesting. You know, I thought they might change Ebenezer Scrooge to, like, Benny Scrooge or something like that, but they haven't. Anyway, when he sees the face in the knocker, he says this:
holy cow.
Which I kind of liked, you know, holy cow. Then they actually mention the faces on the fireplace. You remember the bit where Scrooge sits down, he's looking at his mantelpiece and all the tiles appear to have Marley's face in, and it says that in there, which I thought was a nice touch. Then Marley comes in and he talks to Scrooge. And again, this is one where they've, you know, kept it fairly close-ish to the book, but changed the dialect. Have another listen, listen.
What's with all those chains and things you got wrapped around you?
Oh, these? Well, this here chain is like my life.
Each one of these links is something I did wrong.
But why do you have to hold it around with you? Why don't you check it someplace?
Scrooge, old boy, when we was in business together, I never took time out to do any good. I just kept making a buck and figured that was enough. Well, now I got to pay for it. I got to haul this chain around and try to make up for all the things I didn't do when I was alive.
So Marty tells him the stuff he does in the book, and then the Ghost of Christmas Past turns up and magically helps Scrooge put his pants on. Have a listen to this.
Well, where are we going?
Just relax. I'm running this tour.
Oh, well, let me get my pants.
You got them.
Hey, they're on me.
In the UK, we call those trousers. Now, this is different because instead of seeing Scrooge at school, the Ghost of Christmas Past takes him to this old rundown tenement building where Scrooge and his family used to live. And Scrooge is looking at himself as a young boy having fun with his family. And he says this.
There was a young kid that came around earlier this evening and sang some carols. I wish...
What do you wish?
Oh, nothing.
And that's fine, because that's what he says in the book, but we didn't have any carol singer at his door. So, okay, fine, but a bit cheeky that bit, you know. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but we weren't aware of it happening. Then it talks about like him seeing various years of himself with his family and always having a good Christmas. And then it's Fezziwigs and he goes to a Christmas party. This is actually back at Fezziwig's house. Rather than being in the warehouse where they work, they actually go around Fezziwig's house and apparently have a good time. And at this point, Scrooge feels a bit guilty for the way he's treated Cratchit. Then he goes back to bed. Yeah, there's no sign of any sweetheart that he had when he was younger. I thought that was interesting because for a lot of people, that's the most memorable scene of the past. But yeah, there's no sign of any sweetheart, no Belle, no one. So then the Ghost of Christmas Present turns up and, you know, the whole room is like a veritable grove with mistletoe and holly and all sorts. And I wasn't that impressed with the Ghost of Christmas Present's voice, to be honest. He sounds a little bit too husky. Have a listen to what he sounds like.
Who are you?
The Ghost of Christmas Present. Now don't tell me you don't like the way I fix things up. I work pretty hard.
Yeah, I feel like the Ghost of Christmas Present should have more of a jovial way about him, but they didn't. Then he takes him pretty much just to Cratchit's house, actually. It turns out Cratchit lives on the fifth floor and Tiny Tim has polio. Now, they also mention that Bob Cratchit has got four kids, but we only hear Tiny Tim, so goodness knows what the other three are doing. And Tiny Tim's disappointed because they're having stew for Christmas dinner. And that's a little bit annoying because in the book it is made clear that the Cratchits have a wonderful meal together. Whereas in this one, it's just stew. And then they take him to other places. We don't actually hear the scenes. The narrator just tells us that they go to other places. Some places where there's a lot of joy, some places where there's a lot of misery. Again, in the book, don't talk about much misery. Just talks about how everyone's enjoying Christmas. So, well, that was their choice. Then it's the future, and this is Naff, because it's just an overgrown gravestone. That's it. We don't see anything else. Don't see what happened to Tiny Tim. We don't see what happened to Scrooge's belongings. We don't see anyone talking about some bloke who's died. We just see a gravestone. And it always annoys me when they do that, because this isn't the only adaptation I've done where the Ghost of Christmas Future only takes him to the graveyard. And the main reason it annoys me is because the whole point of the gravestone is Scrooge realises that he was the person everyone was talking badly about. And for it just to be a gravestone of him dying in the future, it's like breaking news, Ghost of Christmas Future. Everyone that's born is going to die at some point, you know, whether it be a year after the present or whether it be 100 years. Death and taxes, we all know that. So yeah, I was a little bit annoyed about that. Not so annoyed that I like kicked up a fuss. I didn't like smash the TV or anything. Do you know why I didn't smash the TV? Because it's on the radio. I mean, if I had smashed up the TV, that would have been a bit silly, wouldn't it? I didn't listen to it on the radio. I listened to it on my phone when I was working. One thing I did find funny, have a listen to this, because this is when he's in the graveyard with the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, right? Have a listen to what he says.
Please don't let this happen. Give me another chance. Well, don't just stand there. Put your arm back in, you'll catch cold.
I thought that was quite funny. He's like, I'm going to change. Oh, and put your arm away, because it's going to get a bit chilly. Okay, fine. Maybe he's trying to show that he's thinking of others now. I don't know.
And then Scrooge wakes up, and is there a boy in the street? There is. Does he say Walker? Of course he does not. I mean, one thing we know they've changed in this is the dialect, so there was really no chance of that happening. This boy in the street is selling newspapers, and they have this interaction.
How many papers have you got?
I don't know. Why?
Well, here's $5. Throw them away and go have yourself a Merry Christmas.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Scrooge.
And I thought that was a bit out of order as well. It's like, throw those newspapers away. All those newspapers that have been printed out. Why not give them away or just leave them somewhere so that people can help themselves? Instead of just, yeah, chuck them in a bin so no one gets a newspaper. And here's $5. Just one word different. Didn't have to say throw them away. Just say, leave your newspapers. That would have done it, wouldn't it? Okay, fine. Who cares? Do you? I don't. I do a little bit, because I mentioned it. If I didn't care at all, I wouldn't have said anything, would I? Can we move on? When he goes to a grocer's, and he goes, he doesn't send the boy in the street, he pretty much gives the kid in the street $5 for throwing away his papers and telling him what day it was. Then he goes to the grocer's, and it's closed on Christmas Day, but Scrooge is like, come on, sell us a turkey, and he's like, oh, go on then. And Scrooge gives him extra cash so he can take it round to Bob Cratchit's house. Then the narrator tells us, we don't hear any of this, the narrator tells us that he goes and gives some money to charity, and he goes to church, and he's walking around the street saying Merry Christmas to everyone, and then he goes around to see Fred, and we hear that, but I'm not going to bother playing it, because he just goes around to see Fred. Fred welcomes him, and we're all happy about that. And then it's the next morning, and he's going to give Bob Cratchit a raise, which is delightful. And also this is said.
You're 21 minutes late.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Scrooge, I had a big evening last night.
Now here's the thing, Bob Cratchit, you asshole. You're going to feed your family with four kids on stew on Christmas Day, but it sounds like you were getting trolleyed. Now, you could have spent that money that you spent on alcohol, maybe on a turkey. Oh, actually, he got a turkey anyway, didn't he? Yeah. But what, did he spend the money he was going to spend on the stew? On alcohol? Is that what it was? I don't know. But it just didn't seem right to me. Now, in the book, I'm fine with that, him turning up late, because it tells us that he's been eating, drinking, and being merry. But in this one, it's like, yeah, we're going to sit round all cold eating stew. So we've got no money for presents, turkey, or alcohol. Okay, I've got money for alcohol, but nothing else. Then it ends, and it cuts back to, like, Richard Diamond. So this is almost like a story within a story, this one. So you've got Richard Diamond. Apparently, at the end of all of his episodes of the radio show, he would play a song on the piano to his girlfriend. And in this one, he ends it with Melikilikimoka. And what's really interesting about this is this was December 1949. The song was written in 1949, and Bing Crosby, who sort of made it popular, didn't record it until 1950. So this is really one of the earliest ever recordings of Melikilikimoka. Yeah, so that's pretty much how it ends. Do you know what? I'm going to recommend this one to your kids. You know, why not have a listen to it? It's 30 minutes long. There's a link to it in the show notes. So as soon as you finish listening to this, if you don't go and listen to Merry Britsmas or Advent Calendar House, or if you've already listened to all those, then just have a listen to this. I think you'll enjoy it. I've played the best bits, obviously, but there's still plenty more bits for you to listen to. So, yeah, check it out. It's the Richard Diamond Private Detective Christmas Special, and, like I said, link in the show notes. Just click on that. Now it's time for this. Boys and girls, a couple of episodes ago, I had Adam Kennedy on the podcast, and he did really badly at the quiz. He embarrassed himself, to be honest. But Adam has recorded a fantastic Christmas album of comedy tunes. Now, I've played one in the last episode, I played one in the previous episode, I'm playing one in this episode, and I'll probably play one in the next episode. Now, this one, I just love the whole song, and it's very, very funny. And I think you'll find it funny too. Yeah, if you do enjoy it, then go to the show notes. I keep sending you to the show notes. I hope you do read the show notes. If you don't, I don't care. You know, I'm not going to make you. I don't care what you do, to be honest. As long as you're happy, you don't hurt anyone. It's Christmas after all. But if you go to the show notes, there's a link to his album. It's called Literally Shrunken Down and Living in My Christmas Village by Adam Kennedy. But if you go to adamkennedy.bandcamp, you'll have no trouble finding it. This song is called Those High Notes, and I'm going to play the whole lot for you, and I hope you like it as much as I do. It still makes me laugh
every time I hear it. Here we go.
Hello, Mr. Kennedy.
What's going on, Doctor?
I bet you're wondering why I called you in today.
Nope. Don't really wonder about anything. Literally, the only thing I do wonder about is whether the Werther's original recipe is the original recipe, because... No.
Your mother was in here earlier, and she told me you were recording a Christmas album.
Yep.
Well, she played me some songs, and I have some big concerns here. You gotta stop going for those high notes. You don't know how to sing properly.
Yep.
You are putting far too much strain on your lungs.
Yep.
I know this may sound crazy, but if you go for just one more high note,
yep,
your lungs could explode. Kaboosh! Gone.
But, I mean, we've only got one last song on the album.
Are there any high notes in it?
I mean...
This Christmas is gonna be different than before. Doctor told me my lungs can't hold out much more. I gotta stop going for those high notes. But who really cares, 'cause it's Christmas! Oh.
I just want my boobs to move. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Bob's back, boys and gals. And here you go, Bob. Have a crisp. They're turkey and stuffing flavoured.
Thanks, Jack. My final Christmas every day for this year may seem like an obvious one, but I want to make sure that we don't overlook it. If you want a little holiday buzz, some festive cheer, maybe a way to lift your spirits, no matter the time or the date, listen to the Total Christmas Podcast. There is no rule against going back and re-listening to episodes that you've already enjoyed. In fact, that is the beauty of a podcast. It is there whenever you need it, no matter what. I can't tell you what this podcast has done for me. I went from being a listener to a contributor to now hosting my own podcast, and I owe it all to Jack. As I suppose is true for any fan, I listen to several different podcasts, Christmas and otherwise, and I was pretty passive about it. But when I stumbled onto Total Christmas, I just seemed to connect with the style, the humor, and the host. He made me want to participate, which I think is the beauty of the medium. So, find your own Total Christmas, be it this show or otherwise, and stay connected to it. You will appreciate how it can become a part of your life. Something you look forward to, like a good show or a book, but instead of people playing parts or fictional characters, these are real people, just like you, trying to find a way to get by in this world and to make it a little more tolerable. Which brings us to how I want to change this segment for 2024. We have talked about many ways to bring a little Christmas into your own life throughout the year, but now I want to hear how you share a little Christmas outside of the season. We'll call this segment Spread a Smile of Joy. And these ideas don't have to cost money. Just how you make the world a little softer, a little better, a little more fun for the people around you. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in 2024.
Well, that was nice, wasn't it? A little tribute to my show. Really appreciate that, Bob. And I'm also looking forward to what you've got in store for us next year. Fingers crossed, some of my lovely listeners do send you their ideas. Obviously, you've got to send them to me and I'll pass them on to Bob. But in the meantime, if you're not listening to Bob's podcast, well, there couldn't be a better time, could there, boys and girls? It's the Festive Foreign Film Fans, and he talks about different Christmas films from around the world. Now, I said this last time, and I've said it a lot of times before, he does cover films that you might never have heard of. You know, this isn't your standards that you watch every year. This is something new and festive. So check out his podcast. I know you'll enjoy it. I want to say a big thank you to my mate Bob for all the work he's put in over this past year. It's been a real pleasure working alongside him. And Merry Christmas, Bob. Now let's do this. So, boys and girls, he's been on before. He's on again now. I've got Ed Daly, and he's going to share his story of how he found out the truth about Santa Claus.
Well, I never did a whole Easter Bunny thing with my kids, like, the same way, because the Easter Bunny is what ruined Santa Claus for me. It was, don't remember exactly what year, but the Easter Bunny just left us notes, and it freaked me out because I was like, how can the Easter Bunny, like, write with paws, with giant paws? Like, how is the Easter Bunny writing? I struggled with that, and so it kind of creeped me.
Let's just get this straight, right? The way you figured out that there's no Santa Claus is because the Easter Bunny has got big paws.
Yes.
Is that how you put two and two together?
Because, like, when
you're... Easter Bunny's got big paws, there is no way there's a Santa.
There's all kinds of creepiness about the Easter Bunny. What, like, what's going on? There's a giant bunny delivering eggs with stuff, and I don't know. But when you're young, you just kind of take everything as it's presented to you. You don't question it. But there was one year it stood out to me, like, what's going on? This note from the Easter Bunny is kind of weird. Like, what is he? He's writing stuff too? Like, what is this bunny doing? And then I thought about that, and it dawned on me weeks later, months later. I kept thinking about it. The next year, Santa leaves a note, and it's the exact same handwriting. Because I was so focused on how is this guy writing this neatly with those paws? Like, what's going on with this writing? And then when I saw the note from Santa, it was like the end of Usual Suspects when the Kaiser Soze moment. I was like, oh no. This is
so it wouldn't
come to think of it, they both have the same handwriting as my dad, and it just, like, my world started spinning, and it was like a very sad moment. And, like, just I have a little sister, so, like, just trying to go through the motions, not saying anything to anyone, but I was like, and then I pulled my older sister aside at some point, maybe on Christmas or shortly thereafter, and I was like, oh, I figured it out. This is bad. This is very bad.
So how old were you, do you reckon?
I would say I was like probably on the older side. I think I was maybe 10 or 9.
Oh, wow. How
9, you... maybe 9. Maybe I was 9.
9, okay. Oh, goodness, that's not bad. I'll be happy if the girls last till they're 9. That'd be good.
Yeah, and then I felt stupid because I was like, I'm 9 and I still didn't figure this out? I think I was 9, yeah. And so then I felt embarrassed. I was like, was I talking about Santa Claus to, like, my buddies in school? They're probably, like, behind my back being like, hey, what's with this guy? So it was like, it was all the levels of shame just hit me like a wave when I saw my dad's handwriting on Santa's note.
What did your sister say, your big sister? How old was she would have been? She would have been what?
She's 3 years older than me.
So she's, like, around 12 then?
Yeah, she just kind of shrugged it off. She's like, yeah, I know.
How much younger, like, is your younger sister?
4 years younger.
Oh, okay. So that's a long
way. It's like I had to like just say nothing. and play it off while it was happening. But, you know, you feel broken. But then I felt like different levels of shame because, oh, wait a second, my buddies probably heard me talking about Santa Claus. And like, this is bad. Like, this is not a good look.
Did you tell your parents then? Or you just never, nothing was ever said?
I think my older sister told my parents, and then my mom, like, you know, gave me some sort of marching orders, don't ruin it for your sister or something yeah. like that. But yeah, and then that was it. And then that first year after, you know, I don't know. For me, I was a little bit bummed out. Like, it just...
Oh, yeah.
And the best part for me, and I'm sure you see this, is like when you get to revisit it as a parent, to have your kids go through it, it's kind of fun again, like in a different way.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I'm like really trying to hold on to these years, which I don't know how many more I've got. I've got a mate. I think his daughter was, she might have been 12. And he said she still believes. And I was thinking, no, she doesn't, mate. I've seen her down the park with boys and stuff at the age of 12. She don't believe in Santa Claus, mate.
I had a buddy that said he's going to, like, he was in high school. And he's like, I feel like if I still just make my parents think I believe, it's going to lead to more presents. So he,
there's that.
So he's like 16 and being like, hey, when's Santa coming?
Right. Tell everyone about your book, Ed. Actually, no, let me tell everyone about it. I'm going to do it this time.
Excellent.
Ed has written a fantastic book. It came out 2 years ago. That's right, isn't it? 2 years.
Yes, and I've updated it each year since.
I'm telling him. And he updates it each year, and it covers everything about Christmas. It talks about Christmas traditions. It talks about Christmas songs. It talks about Christmas all over the world. And a large part of it talks about different versions of A Christmas Carol. Ed's covered over 100 different versions, more than I've covered on the podcast. It's a brilliant book, and it's available only on Amazon. Is that right?
Yes.
The Christmas book, and it's by Ed Daly, and it's brilliant. I loved it. I've still got my copy, and I still flick through it, and I still get more every time I go through it. Thanks so much for coming on, Ed. Are you going to talk about your podcast, or are you not going to bother?
Nah.
Don't want to?
Nah. Although I think next week is a 500th episode, but no.
500?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm near 100, I think. But just tell them what it's called then.
It's called The Baller Lifestyle. It's a sports and pop culture podcast.
Well, you sound like you're ashamed of it.
It's not Christmassy at all. It's
it's not Christmassy, but you can still talk about it. You know, okay. It's not Christmas all year. You know, my listeners don't just live for Christmas. They're not like walking around in Christmas sweaters in July. They might need something different. It's called The Baller Lifestyle. It's him and his mate.
It's a bit R-rated take on...
It is R-rated, yeah. It's not as bad as Thursday Nights Are Right by Jack Andrews, but it's yeah. Yeah, it's got some swears in it. Thanks for coming on, Ed. It's always good to see you.
Always a pleasure being on. Thanks for having me.
You coming on next year?
Absolutely.
No, you're not. I'm not inviting you. Okay,
no.
Thanks.
for someone who got 8 out of 10 on your quiz, you have to have me on. I'm the reigning champion.
Anytime you want to come on, Ed, you're more than welcome. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Jack.
See you. Cheers,
great buddy. Seeing you.
At the end of every episode, I give you a recommendation, and it has become customary for me to give a recommendation to my girls podcast. So I'm doing that now. If you've never listened to the girls podcast, it's called I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. They probably, when they started, were the world's youngest podcasters. They may still be now. I don't know. Juno was 2 when we started, and she's 5 now. Robin was just coming up to 5, and now she's 8. Big girl, yeah. There's over 120 episodes they've got now, and it's just 2 little girls talking about what they've been up to. I think it's loads of fun, but then they're my daughters. You know, you might think it's awful. But if you want to have a listen to it, it's called I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. There will be a link in the show notes, and I know the girls would absolutely love it if you listen to their show. Yeah. And that is it for this episode. We are so close to Christmas. I can taste it. Literally, I can taste it. I can taste the mulled wine and the mince pies. I've been going to town on both of those the last 2 weeks. We've got 1 week left when this comes out. I have one more episode. It's going to come out either Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve, depending on where you are in the world. That'll be my last episode of the year. It's normally I do a really short one for Christmas Day, but this one will probably be a normal length one, maybe a little bit shorter. I might not have quite so much going on, but I hope you listen to that one.
In the meantime, make the most of this wonderful season. This is what the podcast is all about. These 3 or 4 weeks is really what I spend a whole year thinking about. Have a wonderful Christmas with you and your family. And before I go, please let me say a big thank you to all the people that have been part of the show today. Chris and Adam for sending in their questions for Jack Ask. Bob Baker, of course, for his two fantastic segments. The wonderful Shelley Arnold for telling us about our Christmas village. George Podcast for, well, nothing really. And Ed Daly as well. Thank you so much to all of you. Oh, and of course, Stephen for doing such a fantastic job on the quiz. Thank you all for being part of my show. Have a very Merry Christmas, every single one of you. I'll be back in 1 week's time. But in the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Ghost of Christmas present.
I had a funny feeling. Why did you do that?
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
Fine. Slap me in the face. But you kicked me in the
wall. Hush, Frank. It's time to begin the journey.